Chapter 35 Veritaserum. Harry felt himself slam flat into the ground. His face was pressed into grass. The smell of it filled his nostrils. He had closed his eyes while the portkey transported him, and he kept them closed now. He did not move. All the breath seemed to have been knocked out of him. His head was swimming so badly he felt as though the ground beneath him was swaying like the deck of a ship. To hold himself steady, he tightened his hold on the two things he was still clutching, the smooth, cold handle of the Triwizard Cup and Cedric's body. He felt as though he would slide away into the blackness gathering at the edges of his brain if he let go of either of them. Shock and exhaustion kept him on the ground, breathing in the smell of the grass, waiting for someone to do something to happen, and all the while his scar burnt dully on his forehead. A torrent of sound deafened and confused him. There were voices everywhere, footsteps, screams. He remained where he was, his face screwed up against the noise, as though it was a nightmare that would pass. Then a pair of hands seized him roughly and turned him over. "Harry! Harry!" He opened his eyes. He was looking up at the starry sky, and Albus Dumbledore was crouched over him. The dark shadows of a crowd of people pressed in around them, pushing nearer. Harry felt the ground beneath his head reverberating with their footsteps. He had come back to the edge of the maze. He could see the stands rising above him, the shapes of people moving in them, the stars above. Harry let go of the cup, but he clutched Cedric to him even more tightly. He raised his free hand and seized Dumbledore's wrist, while Dumbledore's face swam in and out of focus. "He's back," Harry whispered. "He's back. Voldemort." "What's going on? What's happened?" The face of Cornelius Fudge appeared upside down over Harry. It looked white, appalled. "My God! Diggory!" it whispered. "Dumbledore! He's dead!" The words were repeated. The shadowy figures pressing in on them gasped it to those around them, and then others shouted it, screeched it into the night. "He's dead! He's dead! Cedric Diggory! Dead!" "Harry, let go of him!" he heard Fudge's voice say, and he felt fingers trying to prise him from Cedric's limp body, but Harry wouldn't let him go. Then Dumbledore's face, which was still blurred and misted, came closer. "Harry, you can't help him now. It's over. Let go." "He wanted me to bring him back," Harry muttered. It seemed important to explain this. "He wanted me to bring him back to his parents." "That's right, Harry. Just let go now." Dumbledore bent down, and with extraordinary strength for a man so old and thin, raised Harry from the ground and set him on his feet. Harry swayed. His head was pounding. His injured leg would no longer support his weight. The crowd around them jostled, fighting to get closer, pressing darkly in on him. "What's happened? What's wrong with him? Diggory's dead!" "He'll need to go to the hospital wing," Fudge was saying loudly. "He's ill, he's injured. Dumbledore, Diggory's parents, they're here, they're in the stands. I'll take Harry, Dumbledore, I'll take him—" "No, I would prefer—" "Dumbledore, Amos Diggory's running, he's coming over. Don't you think you should tell him before he sees?" "Harry, stay here." Girls were screaming, sobbing hysterically. The scene flickered oddly before Harry's eyes.
"It's all right, son. I've got you. Come on, hospital wing."
"Dumbledore said stay," said Harry thickly, the pounding in his scar making him feel as though he was about to throw up. His vision was blurring worse than ever.
"You need to lie down. Come on now."
Someone larger and stronger than Harry was half-pulling, half-carrying him through the frightened crowd. Harry heard them gasping, screaming, and shouting as the man supporting him pushed a path through them, taking him back to the castle. Across the lawn, past the lake and the Durmstrang ship, Harry heard nothing but the heavy breathing of the man helping him walk.
"What happened, Harry?"
the man asked at last, as he lifted Harry up the stone steps. clunk, clunk, clunk. It was Mad-Eye Moody. "Cup was a portkey," said Harry, as they crossed the entrance hall. "Took me and Cedric to a graveyard, and Voldemort was there. Lord Voldemort!" Clunk, 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 up the marble stairs.
"The Dark Lord was there? What happened then?"
"Killed Cedric. They killed Cedric."
"And then?"
Clunk, 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 along the corridor. "Made a potion. Got his body back."
"The Dark Lord got his body back? He's returned?"
"And the Death Eaters came, and then we duelled."
"You duelled with the Dark Lord?"
"Got away. My wand did something funny. I saw my mum and dad. They came out of his wand."
"In here, Harry. In here, and sit down. You'll be all right now. Drink this."
Harry heard a key scrape in a lock, and felt a cup being pushed into his hands.
"Drink it. You'll feel better. Come on now, Harry. I need to know exactly what happened."
Moody helped tip the stuff down Harry's throat. He coughed, a peppery taste burning his throat. Moody's office came into sharper focus, and so did Moody himself. He looked as white as fudge, and both eyes were fixed unblinkingly upon Harry's face.
"Voldemort's back, Harry. You're sure he's back? How did he do it?"
"He took stuff from his father's grave, and from Wormtail, and me," said Harry. His head felt clearer. His scar wasn't hurting so badly. He could now see Moody's face distinctly, even though the office was dark. He could still hear screaming and shouting from the distant Quidditch pitch.